So hello, everybody, and welcome to our NEPT case study call for the month of April 2018. It's just the very beginning of April, and it's time for our case study call again. And we have a special treat today. As we've mentioned before, but maybe it went in and out because you weren't at that point for a lot of you, but these calls are where you can submit cases, but you can also do your case study for certification. Now, some of you just joined a few months ago, not ready to do case studies for certification, but Jarena is more advanced and she's ready to do a case study presentation for her certification. Now, you don't have to do it in front of the group. You could do it on your own and submit it, but I prefer that you do it in front of the group because it gives you the practice of presenting this stuff to clients and any other ways that you're going to be presenting. So Jarena is going, she created a PowerPoint presentation, which is what we recommend. Jan started this trend, and there's actually a guide in on the site for how to do it and how to put things into a PowerPoint. So for those of you who are new, just like, don't worry about it. You'll get there. And I'm going to just turn it over to Jarena to do her case. So Jarena's going to share her screen.
Okay.
Let's make sure everybody's muted. Mute all. Wait, I muted all, but I'll unmute you, Jarena.
Okay.
There we go. All right.
Screen share. Let me.
Yep, from beginning. Yep.
Yeah, I'm trying to get. Okay. All right. Okay. Hello, everybody. My name is Jarena, and I'm doing a case study. This woman was 49 at the time, and she is now 51. So we've worked together now for over 2 years. And so her chief complaints were that 8 years ago she started having cyclical pain and spotting that would come every other month and last for 3 weeks. This was accompanied by broken sleep patterns and by acne. 6 months to a year later, she started gaining weight in the middle. She felt sluggish, was having hot and cold body fluctuations in temperature, sores in her mouth, brain fog, and was very slow to healing wounds. Her questions really were that she was already on a raw food diet, and why were things escalating into, you know, like a worse pattern for her life and throwing her body even more out of balance? So it seemed. So we're going to move on to what blood panels and assessments that I chose. So I chose for her to do the lifestyle and diet assessment, which, these things present, you know, the assessments present for there to be possible trouble that we might not be able to see on the outside of the body, and relates to underlying conditions also. So I chose the lifestyle and diet assessment, physical symptoms and symptoms and assessment, her family history, stress assessment, exposures and environment assessment, thyroid assessment and scorecards, adrenal assessment, CWP panel in both 2015 and now current 2018, genetic SNPs, and I chose the thyroid panels in 2015 and 2018. Hopeful that between the assessments and the blood work that we would find a direction for her. So in the lifestyle and diet assessments, her lifestyle was high stress. She worked 8 to 12 hours a day, and after work, she would work at home doing chores and gardening. Even though gardening tends to be relaxing, it was also an added responsibility. Her work environment was in a hair salon. Her exposures to chemicals was a lot, and it was causing, I feel, a lot of stress on her liver. She had had mold exposure for 5 years, living in a home with water underneath and live mold growing in the windowsills. She had a high-stress home life with a marriage that was not healthy. She had no time for fun. She was eating a raw food diet and juicing fresh vegetables and fruits. She was eating fruit, using her what she was calling healthy sweeteners, which was agave, maple syrup, and local honey. She was also eating raw food desserts sweetened with these healthy sweeteners and eating raw dairy. She ate snacks in the evening, both before bed and sometimes if she woke up in the night. In her expression, she seemed to feel that life was a burden despite her efforts. So through talking with her, I discovered that perfectionism was controlling her life. Her perfect home and garden, flower beds, and work ethic of high standards was causing her to crash. The trash can, also known as the liver, was full and couldn't detoxify the amount of chemicals and mold in the home. She was exposed to so many chemicals and cleaning agents of her own choice in her home at that time. Eating the, quote, healthy sweeteners and having too much fruit was causing her to possibly have high blood sugar. The raw dairy could possibly have been mimicking gluten in her body, causing her poor digestion and absorption impairment. Moving on, her physical symptoms and assessment showed that she was dealing with PCOS, and that was discovered by a vaginal ultrasound that was done. She had 9 cysts on her right ovary. The recommended fix by the medical field was to do a full hysterectomy. The question she asked was, what causes this? The doctor had no reason. All he said was the typical procedure for this is a complete hysterectomy. So with that, she decided she needed to do some research of her own. And so in doing that, she discovered through YouTube videos and other things that she could possibly heal herself with a raw food diet, eliminating carbs and things like that. So going on, the pain was always on the right ovary. So it is how your cycle rotates, is every other month, every other ovary. So it was the cysts on the right ovary that were causing the cyclical pain. It could have been caused also by blood sugar dysregulation. So she was experiencing a lot of hot and cold flashing in her whole body, and it would come and it would go. Sores on her tongue from heightened acidity and inflammation. Chocolate seemed to be a huge problem. When she would eat chocolate, immediately sores would come onto her tongue. And even if it was like an unsweetened chocolate. So there was something to that. White spots on her nails, acne from hormone imbalances, insulin resistance, and inflammation. Dry mouth and skin related to dehydration. Lack of stomach acid, amylase, and non-absorbing fats. Varicose veins in her legs and her arms, which can be a sign of blood sugar dysregulation. The high blood sugar breaks down the striations of the veins and arteries, causing weaknesses, which leads to bulging veins and weakened vessels. She had feet; her feet were burning, which can also be a sign of high blood sugar, possibly neuropathy. So going on to her family history is going to kind of show where some of this is kind of relating to this. So in her family history, there was no congenital hypothyroidism that was shared with her by her parents or grandparents, but obviously there was some somewhere, which it did show up down the line in her genetic SNPs, which we'll be seeing later. Both maternal and paternal grandparents had insulin resistance and type 2 diabetes. Both had vein thrombosis in their legs and had surgery to strip their veins. My grandmother, the grandmother, was like twice stripping her legs. Maternal grandfather had Parkinson's disease at a young age of 58. There were already tremors showing up, and he died by age 65. Paternal grandmother was an alcoholic with schizophrenia and OCD behavior. She died at age 73. Paternal father was OCD and had schizophrenic behavior and died at age 38. Maternal grandmother had ovarian and uterine cancer, diabetes, and a stroke at age 65 and died at age 73. You know, a lot of this I felt was diabetes, insulin resistant related. In our next slide, we're going to show that in the other assessments that were done, off of the assessment scorecards, it was that everything showed it up that they all needed to be addressed in some way. So the all over body work that we'll see down the line with our action steps, were important to address all of these things. So all other assessments resulted in needing to be addressed before damage was done to the body's farther damage done to the body systems. The high stress lifestyle, her marriage, heavy workload and home family responsibilities needed some boundaries. The exposures and environment needed cleaned up, along with the changing of cleaning agents used in the home and work. Stage 4 adrenal exhaustion needed to be addressed to calm the body down and get the cortisol under control. The thyroid needed to be supported. So moving on to the scorecard that we used for the hypothyroidism, I just wanted to, you know, kind of clarify that hypothyroidism is caused by the thyroid not being able to produce enough thyroid hormone to meet the need of the body. So according to the hypothyroid scorecard, there was mental sluggishness. Mild effects of mental sluggishness creates mood swings. So she was not able to concentrate or focus. Reduced initiative, which left her with no energy for fun after responsibilities were done for the day. She was easily fatigued and sleepy during the day, especially after meals, which tends to relate to insulin. Sensitive to cold, with having cold hands and feet all the time, and dry skin and scalp. So we're going to compare this with the hyperthyroid results, because she was having symptoms of both. So our scorecard for the hyperthyroid, just to follow the same pattern, is hyperthyroidism is associated with the body's production of autoimmune antibodies in the blood, which causes the thyroid to grow and secrete excess thyroid hormone. Hyperthyroidism produces weight loss with increased appetite, shortness of breath and fatigue, intolerance to heat, heart palpitations, increased frequency of bowel movements, weak muscles, tremors, anxiety, and difficulty sleeping, which these do go back to some of her initial complaints. So on this scorecard, she was experiencing mild inward trembling, especially at night. This can also be related to cortisol. She flushed easily and was usually incorporated with, which was usually incorporated with heart palpitations and hot flashes in her face. Her pulse would increase at resting on occasion also. This could be related to foods eaten that were increasing her blood sugar. She was suffering from insomnia. Many nights were as little as 4 hours of sleep, and the all nights were in interrupted sleep patterns. And some were nights she couldn't even go back to sleep. Night sweats were occasionally what woke her up, but then she would turn very cold. So moving on to the comparison of these particular two scorecards, coming up soon is the thyroid panels, and it shows that she has antibodies. So it connected that it could very be possible that she had an autoimmune hypothyroid condition, whether it be the beginning stages or was, you know, caught in time, that it would not escalate into a full-blown Hashimoto's case that would take a lot more work to repair. So the possibilities of the assessment cards that were done, I felt she could possibly have autoimmune hypothyroid, insulin resistance, leaky gut, and adrenal fatigue, which all needed to be addressed. In the CWP panel, we have a comparison of what it was in 2015 and coming on to the 2018. So as you can see in the 2015 blood panel, her fasting blood sugar was slightly higher than the optimal high, which is 75 to 85, which presents a pre-diabetic condition. Fasting blood sugar is a sign of what is already accelerated in the body with insulin resistance. The triglycerides are high and are usually related to a high carb diet, and tells us how well the body is processing the fats in her diet. This is also related to hypothyroidism. HDL is within the optimal range, but low optimal. Low HDL can be related to hyperthyroid, insulin resistance, heavy metal, and chemical exposures, which going back to her being in a salon, you know, would relate to the chemical exposures and heavy metal toxicity in her liver. The triglyceride HDL ratio is 2.2. Fat malabsorption is pretty obvious here, which also can be related with the blood sugar. The HDL should fall in the limits of 0.8 to 1.3 when divided into the triglyceride number. LDL is at the higher end of optimal. The LDL is considered the bad cholesterol and can cause coronary heart disease if elevated. When it is elevated, is a sign of insulin resistance, fat malabsorption, fatty liver, and hypothyroid. This is also supporting what we were seeing with the antibodies and the signs of autoimmune hypothyroid. Cholesterol is within the limits of optimal health. Cholesterol is very important for all of our hormones. It's the basis of making all steroid hormones, which going back to her PCOS and some acne, dysregulation of hormones. So the alkaline phosphatase is at 46, which is low. Optimally, it should be between 70 and 90. This could be why she has slow healing wounds and white spots on her fingernails. TSH is low and shows pretense toward hyperthyroidism. Her hemoglobin A1C is 5.3 and measures the average of the blood sugar over 2 to 3 months. The blood level of glucose is controlled by hormones, mostly insulin, which is produced by the pancreas. Her hip to waist ratio was only 3 inches difference. She is the skinny insulin resistance. She didn't have a vitamin D test done at the time, but with her genetics, as we will soon see, she showed up with a VDR SNP. So her vitamin D needed to be supplemented. So in comparison to her 2018 CWP panel, her fasting blood sugar is now 80, which is now within the optimal limits. Triglycerides at 80, HDL at 62, LDL at 75, cholesterol at 180, alkaline phosphatase at 80. TSH is now at 1.41, hemoglobin A1C at 5.0, and vitamin D at 85. These numbers were brought up by using supplementation, dietary changes. There were many things that will show up in the next couple of slides after we kind of look on to the thyroid blood panels and how that proves out. All right, so our next slide is from the Revive and Thrive. We have a thyroid lab tracker, and we can see that all areas have made some improvements. So the thyroid tracker is showing the comparison of the 2015 and 2018 thyroid blood panels. There has been improvements in every area as noted. The TSH from 1.09 to 1.41. The total T4 from 5.3 to 6.6, which isn't high, but it is within ideal range. And there are improvements that are being made here. Her free T4 went from 1.15 to 1.5. Free T3 from 2.5 to 3.1. Thyroglobulin antibodies were the same. They were less than 1, but the TPO antibodies went from 12 to 1, or less than 1, so it shows up on your test. The T3 uptake increased. This shows an indirect measure of the quantity of thyroxine binding proteins in the plasma. This can indicate hormone imbalances such as high testosterone. There are symptoms present for this, such as testosterone being converted to DHT, causing hair loss, chin, and mustache hair. In our next slide, we're showing as another tool. This isn't super clear because I tried to blow it up as much as possible. So in accordance to the 2015 numbers, they were all low. So you can see that the conversion was out of balance and the TSH was very low. And so in the 2018, which is the thyroid scale in the bottom, we are now within ideal range in most areas. So TSH and the free T4. And then the free T3 is on the low optimal, but it is moving up. So there are improvements being made. In our next slide, we're showing that the thyroid temperature monitoring charts. And so this slide and the next slide, this shows 2015. And these are just tools to be able to cross-reference to help us see what's actually happening. So from what we've learned before in the Revive and Thrive and the thyroid modules, that our awakening temperatures are always going to be low. So it's not going to be our best indicative number, but they should be higher than 97.6. So you can see through the day that her temperature does rise, but never seems to rise, but on rare occasion, to 98.6. So this is showing an accordance to the Wilson's temperature method that she would be hypothyroid. In the 2018 chart, you can see that her temperatures were much higher in the morning and seemed to even go beyond still some of the normal temperatures through the day, which could be caused by certain food allergens and other things that can increase your body temperature. But the average of a 3-day was 98.6. So she had improved, you know, really quite a lot. So our next slide is her genetic SNPs that relate to what could be going on. Okay, so our genetic SNPs are the FOXE1, which is congenital hyperthyroidism. So it's important that we understand that she has the possibility that this could be something in her genetics downline if activated. And obviously through sugars and insulin, that could happen. The SOD2 SNP is superoxide dismutase and an enzyme that protects cells from oxidative stress and free radical damage. It is in the family as iron and manganese. So it is used to protect cell receptors. The BCOM1 SNP, she doesn't convert beta carotene to vitamin A, which vitamin A regulates the production of TSH and activates the cell receptors. She has a BDR SNP, and vitamin D regulates the production of TSH and activates the is an immune modulator and suppresses autoimmune activity along with bioflavonoids against thyroid cancer. She has an MTRR SNP, which recycles B12 and converts homocysteine to methionine. B12 is associated with decreased levels of the enzyme that activates the thyroid hormone. She has an SLC2A2, which indicates a sweet tooth, and having a sweet tooth can cause a decreased immune system, and insulin resistance can cause decreased thyroid health. She also has an APOE44, which increases the chances for Alzheimer's disease, and also has a hard time absorbing saturated fats. Fats are important for thyroid support, along with hormones and insulin regulation. So these SNPs, you know, some of them obviously were beginning to be activated by her lifestyle, even though she was juicing and such, but still using sweeteners that can be causing autoimmune problems and immunity dysregulation. So the action steps that I presented to her, this seems like a big list, but she made her own choices. So this is the presentation I presented, was that we needed to get her to sleep. And it was really important for her to do that so her body could begin to heal. It was also important that she drink 80 ounces or more of water, good clean water, to support her thyroid, to get rid of all high allergen foods, including gluten, sugar, eggs, soy, peanuts, and inflammatory oils. been in getting rid of the allergen food, high allergen foods, the thyroid could heal and the antibodies could decrease if we could decrease the inflammation in the body. She needed to make lifestyle changes that would reduce the stress, change her overloaded schedule of work and no time for fun to making time for fun, schedule a vacation and have some relaxing time. She needed to go ahead and test her blood sugar after meals, testing fasting glucose and postprandial to understand what food was doing in her body. She needed to eliminate environmental toxins, which is really hard when she worked in a hair salon and is exposed to a multitude of chemicals and chemical combinations that were hazardous, all of which were filling the trash can of the liver. Schedule some fun every day. Fit in something that would make her smile. Doing intermittent fasting was important. So we really communicated to her that fasting for 16 hours between dinner and breakfast could really be beneficial for her. And then her first morning meal to be liquid, juice or elixir or shake. It could be a smoothie, whatever made her happy, but would be the best thing for her. A probiotic rotation for gut health was important because we were wanting to create a healing environment for the body as a whole. So I recommended two different probiotic strains in small combinations to rotate 5 days at a time and then 1 week of fermented foods. It helps with T3 production. Regulation of blood sugar, because her blood work showed higher than optimal fasting blood sugar because she had revealed in our interview that she had spent her whole life hypoglycemic, eating every 2 hours. She needed to test her foods to find out what worked to keep her blood sugar regulated and to help with the autoimmune antibodies. With juicing, she pressed fresh juice. And so for her, that was a bioavailable nutrients that would get right to the cells without much work in digestion. Juicing low lectin and oxalate vegetables for reduction in inflammation was important. Using methods for reducing stress throughout the day, like heart math, hypopressive breathing, meditation with positive reflections. It was really important for her to be able to reduce the stress load in order for her body to heal. Exercising in small increments. That was not something that she understood. It was something that she was more into working out for an hour, and then the rest of the day, it was not hardly any movement other than what her daily work day was. So slowing that down and doing 10 minutes or less at a time of T-tap, walking, bursts, Pilates, whatever in smaller increments. I recommended for her to do liver cleansing using NAC spray, which also brings up glutathione levels. Reconstitutional hydrotherapy for her whole body healing 2 to 3 times a week. And if you don't understand what reconstitutional hydrotherapy is, that is maximizing the heat of the body and then shocking it with a cold application so that the body can actually create its own furnace in order to be a healing environment and burn out toxicity. Castor oil packs on her abdomen and liver using wool flannel and castor oil heated to a reasonable temperature for the skin, and then a steam beanie or a hot water bottle put on top to penetrate the castor oil. Now, a lot of these things were really important based on what I felt was really happening with the liver and detoxification that needed to take place. Okay, moving on to our next slide. These were the herbs that I recommended. Licorice root for energy, because she was really exhausted most of the day long, very sluggish, and that was going back to her initial complaints. It is useful also in hyperthyroid. Berberine for blood sugar regulation. Ashwagandha for stimulating T3 and T4 synthesis and increase antioxidant absorption. Astragalus for immune support, as long as there is not a T helper cell 2 dominance. Thrive 6 mushroom powder for immune system regulation and inflammation. Parsley for vitamin A, C, copper, manganese, and other thyroid hormone production. Rhodiola to normalize the endocrine function. And rosemary, which contains carnosic acid that supports pituitary thyroid signaling. Now, moving on to the next slide were the supplements that I recommended. I felt that these were very important, and some of them were based upon her genetic SNPs. So the supplements recommended were vitamin A, and she was doing it once a week at 35,000 IU a week, which is for regulation of TSH and activating the thyroid receptors, and because she had the BCON1 SNP and doesn't convert beta-carotene to vitamin A. Vitamin B12, which is associated with decreased levels of an enzyme that activates thyroid hormone, and because of her SNPs, she chose to an active form of B12 three times a week, and then folate she was getting from her greens. The vitamin B complex powder for nourishing the whole body, but with emphasis on having extra B6 for cofactors and for nerves. Vitamin D3 with K2, 5,000 IU daily as an immune modulator and suppressing autoimmune activity. She also had the VDR SNP, so with that living at high altitude, she needed to be supplemented fairly high and daily. Berberine 500, 500 milligrams at noon and 1,000 at nighttime. This was also to help with her nighttime blood sugar dysregulation, and sometimes was also managed with MCT oil. But it seemed like the heartbeat in the ears and having waking up in the night, she needed some regulation there. So the berberine seemed to work best for her. Selenium from the Brazil nuts, 200 to 300 milligrams a day, and iodine from Dulse flakes, and occasionally supplementing iodine when she wasn't eating enough sea vegetables. Magnesium at 400 milligrams daily for helping to absorb iodine and for relaxation. Zinc, 45 to 75 milligrams for the hypothalamus and pituitary stimulation. T3 production and reduction of antibodies. Low zinc, she was low on her zinc, and so we had her taking that. But when you have low zinc, you can also see that there's a possibility of estrogen dominance, malabsorption, and hypothyroidism. Omega-3 fats from soaked chia, ground flax, and possibly cold water fish supplements, depending on what she was doing in her diet. Manganese at 50 milligrams at noon, 5-HTP, oh, mama mia, I'm sorry, I've lost my place. Manganese at 50 milligrams two times a week for SOD, for free radical damage control. Vitamin C at 5,000 milligrams daily for adrenals and overall body repair. Digestive enzymes with ox bile with each meal for fat absorption to help with insulin, thyroid, and digestion. The APOE4-4 SNP showed that there was a higher need for absorption of fats. 5-HTP, 50 milligrams at noon to be taken to level out moods, and 100 milligrams 2 hours before bed to raise up melatonin for a good night's sleep. NAC spray to raise glutathione levels for antioxidants and cleansing the liver. Sorry about the dog disruption. All right, so moving on. Essential oils for the thyroid. There are three that I recommended, and there are many more that can help with the thyroid, but these particularly made a difference for her. Essential oils for the thyroid can be helpful. Frankincense oil can be applied with a carrier topically to stimulate healing on the thyroid. Myrrh oil is used for reducing inflammation, and lavender for relaxation, mindfulness, and stress release. These can be applied to the temples, the forehead, and the neck. and understanding essential oils, they will go into the layers of the dermis and penetrate even into the organs of the body. Okay, so I recommended some lifestyle changes to help her along. So the protocol was to get rid of the environmental toxin exposures. This is difficult in this work environment that she works in. But by changing product lines and installing clean air units could improve the workplace. Her home already had a full house filter since she had moved away from the home that had mold. So that fixed most of that problem with the home environment with mold and such. So at least a clean air environment with sleeping and resting. Using stress relieving techniques like heart math, deep breathing, hyperpressive, light exercise, meditation, scheduled fun times were all helpful. Doing some self-help work with addressing the things you cannot change and letting go of the things that you cannot change will release responsibility and heavy load carrying. And to get much more sleep and to do whatever it took to be able to have sleep vacations at least at once a month. In our next slide, I'm not going to go through the acupressure points. You can look at these, but the link below allows for you to have a diagram showing you where each one of these links are. And these are specific to hyperthyroid, which I recommended her to choose when she would remember through the day to use some for hyperthyroid and some for hypothyroid. So each one of these had a benefit for her. So these were given to her in charts so that she was able to do that. Okay, her physical changes that began to happen. All right, so slowly she felt some energy start to creep in. Licorice tea was really instigating in this because she would drink that a couple times a day and felt a good increase in energy. Her acne began to clear up. Gas and bloating was reducing after meals. She began to lose weight in the midsection, hips and thighs. Inflammation in her hands and feet and legs reduced and the feet stopped burning. All of these were due to a combination of action steps that were taken. So in our next slide, the emotional support that I gave to her to help her through the program. I felt that the power of the mind supersedes the physical and the spiritual. So emotional support was given to her with biweekly assessments of her physical changes and then program changes could be made based on that. And if she was having any reactions to supplements, things that might not be working for her, and combinations of teas and herbs and things like that. So if those things needed to be changed or replaced, then we kept in close contact about these things. Reminders of calming techniques and scheduling fun were sent to her email, and I sent her new recipes for her enjoyment and to keep her interest in trying new things and palating new foods. The next slide is going to show what she chose to do. All right, so her choices were to do things, some things that didn't cost any money, you know, because hyperpressive breathing and heart math and things like that, they don't cost any money. They are just part of your healing process. And so she chose to do the heart math 4 to 5 times a day, juice low oxalate foods and vegetables. She chose a raw food lifestyle, fasting blood sugar testing and postprandial testing. Drinking green smoothies with rotating herb powders and mushroom powders. She eliminated all food allergens, any foods that raised her blood sugar above 110, and anything that disrupted her digestion, which there were times when that did not leave a whole lot for short periods of time for her to eat. She took the supplements recommended and did reconstitutional hydrotherapy 3 times a week, followed by the castor oil pack on her liver and abdomen. When she thought about it during the day, she did a couple of acupressure points. Then she applied frankincense oil topically to the thyroid and lavender for calming at bedtime. She did hypopressive breathing in the mornings and prayer to keep herself focused on healing and thankfulness. Because 3/4 of our healing is from finding something to be thankful for every day. All right, her thyroid maintenance that we felt was going to maintain her improvements and continue her improvements was that she would sleep 8 to 10 hours a night. She did eliminate her alarm clock, which had allowed for her to have a much better rest. For some reason, it seems to bring an anxiousness to know that you have to get up with that alarm ringing. She was making fun a priority. Walking her dog and laughing at life was huge. Drinking 80 ounces of water was intentional for her good health. Exercise 30 to 45 minutes total in a day, broken up into small increments. Maintaining a raw food lifestyle with occasional fish incorporated in her meal planning. 2 times a week with ashwagandha, astragalus, and Thrive 6 powder for immune support. Eating sea vegetables in salad dressings and soups. Eating Brazil nuts for selenium 2 to 3 times a week. And rotating with salmon, asparagus, and mushrooms, which are all good sources of selenium. Maintaining supplements at reasonable amounts for maintenance. She is doing castor oil packs 3 times a week to keep the liver cleansing and NAC spray for cleansing and glutathione production. So this is my final slide coming up as to where she is today. Once she implemented the protocols and made the lifestyle changes, she has had a much more fulfilling life. Her big why as to why would her life be better if she got well was she wanted to get well so that she could live a life honoring to her family and enjoy the things that she loves to do, which she had had no energy to be able to do. Having the energy to be able to hike and walk her dog, having emotional stability and regulated hormones to be able to enjoy relationships, this has been fulfilling by choosing to implement the lifestyle, environmental changes. Her outlook is reflective and positive, which has pertained to a life of love and joyfulness. None of these things took place overnight. Not any one thing did it all. The balance to the whole body made the difference. In the end, I feel this was instigated by insulin resistance, this thyroid condition. And once the immune system was encouraged to work properly, the blood sugar was regulated with meal timing and food eliminations, the body could heal all suffering systems. So I thank you for being here for my presentation, and you should stop the recording now.